So last week during the sermon, Chris Knowles helped us understand what it is to be connected to the vine who is Jesus, and therefore connected to each other. And today we have the verses immediately following that reading, and we have another picture. Jesus is encouraging us to remain in his love, to abide in his love, so that he can make his home in us. And that love is a uniting force. Even though we may be separated by a long distance, that love is still there and unites us across the world. And I've worked out this morning that we're separated from our mission partner to Kenya with Love by exactly 4,229 miles, which is quite a long way. So it's good this morning that we have Chris to come and talk to us, Chris Wheat, who will be here in a moment. First of all, I'd like to, Sally, if you stand up. Sally is our link to Kenya with Love. Sally will often be seen in the creche during the 10:30 service, looking after our young families, and also in the coffee area, making coffee and offering hospitality. But Sally is one of the board members of To Kenya with Love and is obviously part of our community here. So that's our main connection. So if you want to know any more, you can always ask Sally. Thank you. That's great. But today we're fortunate that Chris Wheat is here and can come and share some of what is happening on the ground, because he's normally on the ground in Kenya at To Kenya with Love. So Chris, do you want to come up and I'll let you introduce yourself and tell us more about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I just need to get set up slightly. Okay, thank you everyone for inviting me and giving me a chance to speak to you all today. As has already been said, I'm with To Kenya with Love, and we work in one of the slum areas of Kisumu, which is one of three cities in Kenya. And Kenya really is a country of extremes. This is a picture of the city centre. We've got proper roads, large supermarkets, office blocks. There's a nice recreation park. This is one of the latest hotels that have been built in the area. This swimming pool is actually on the fourth floor, and you can swim and overlook Lake Victoria and lots of trees. Really, really nice. Around the city, there's a small area where there are well-built houses. Lots of the gardens are like a quarter or half an acre. Many of these people have servants looking after the gardens, looking after the houses. But then just across the road from there, we've got the area where most people live. The roads are badly built. Some are made of tarmac, but have fallen to pieces. The buildings are mainly temporary. In the foreground there, you can see a hand cart with containers. That's to deliver water to people, because many people don't have water in their area, so it has to be bought every day. The blue building there is actually a cafe where you can go in and get soft drinks, chips, sausages, and that sort of thing. A couple of buildings down, there's a shop where you can buy bread, milk, eggs, and that sort of thing. Most people in these areas are living in temporary accommodation as well. Buildings made of corrugated iron, mud. A few are made of brick, but not very well built. You can just about see near the front of the picture, there are a few electric cables running across roofs. That's usually from stolen electricity. During the night, people run up the poles and wrap the wire around the electric pole so that they've got light during the night. The toilet facilities are not particularly good either. They're usually shared by up to sort of 20 families, which means early in the morning, there are long queues. A lot of people don't like to wait in the queues, so they go behind the houses or on the side of the road, so you have to be quite careful where you're walking through these areas. And about 80% of the people living in Kisumu are living in these slum areas. And lots of people are still coming to the city because they're finding life in the rural areas very difficult. They're trying to find jobs and they're looking for good schools for their children. When they get here, they find it difficult to get into schools because to get into a primary school, you need to pass a test. The government made primary schools free a little while ago, but if you don't pass this test, you don't get in. So you have to go to nursery school to start with, and nursery schools are not free. So you see lots of children sitting around on the streets playing, and as they get older, they get into trouble, stealing, drinking, joining gangs. Excuse me. So 26 years ago, To Kenya With Love started their sponsorship program and nursery school. In the nursery school, we have 65 students, all from around this area. Half of them are sponsored, and the other half pay a reduced fee compared to other schools. The sponsorship provides for school fees, uniforms, shoes, books, and medical care if they get ill. They're taught in English right from the start, which isn't their natural language, and they learn very, very fast. It's incredible. After about 6 months, lots of these children are speaking English better than I can speak Swahili, which is one of their languages, and I've been learning that for 13 years. At break time, they get a snack and a cooked meal at lunchtime. Many, many children arrive without having breakfast because their parents are disappearing off early to try and find work, trying to find money. When they get home in the evenings, there's not always food available. So for some of them, excuse me, this is the only food that they get in the day. By the end of nursery school, they can do simple maths, speak English, and write in short sentences. About 11 years ago, we started our primary school. We have 8 classes in our primary school, maximum of 30 in a class. We used to sponsor the children into the public primary schools, but when the government reduced the costs, they said it was free, but it was just reduced costs. We had class sizes of 80 to 100, and so they weren't getting a very good education. So we want to do something a lot better for our children. So our classrooms are light and they're cool. Most Kenyan classrooms, the government classrooms, are under tin roofs with very small windows, so it gets very, very hot and it's dark. And we provide all the resources needed so that our children have a really good chance to succeed. So we have 230 children in our primary school. If children are struggling, we have a special needs teacher to help them. We also have a reduced time in school compared to the government. They make the children pay an extra 2 hours tuition every day, and they ask them to come in on Saturdays and Sunday afternoons. Because we're giving them a really good education, our children have a chance to go out and play and have a real life after school. We have lots of afternoon clubs, scouts, environment, football, basketball, music, drama. It's not just about getting the exam result in our school, it's about helping proper life skills and getting the kids to enjoy themselves. Once they've left our primary school, we keep in touch with them. We keep in touch with them as they go on to secondary school. We have a mentorship program in the holidays where they can share experiences and encourage each other. We get lots of outside speakers coming in as well, youth leaders, teachers, lawyers, community workers, ex-sponsored children. I think in December we actually had a pop star come in and talk to them as well. I'd never seen the person before. I didn't know who he was. So after primary school, they then go out to other high schools all around the country. And we've got 75 in high schools at the moment. Most go to boarding schools because they tend to be the better schools. The students like it because there are less distractions and it helps them to get better grades. The parents like it because there are less temptations for them and problems for them when they're in boarding school, and it lowers the cost of the food for the family as well. After high school, the students get a chance to go on to college. If they do very well, they can get a government-sponsored place to go to university. The government takes between 5 and 10% of the top students and helps them with their fees. It doesn't cover everything, but we get quite a high number going on to university, and the rest we try to get into other practical or college courses. This is Joram. He was one of our very first sponsored children, joining our nursery school 26 years ago. He worked very, very hard all the way through school. He managed to get a government-sponsored place at university, and he did a degree in forest management. And now he is working in other communities, working with people, helping them to manage woodlands and forests, making a difference in other people's lives. As I said, not all are bright enough to go to university, so we put them into other courses. This is Matalin. She did a two-year course at a local college and in catering, and now she's working in one of the new good hotels in their kitchens, doing very well, and is now able to help her family. A typical case of a child that comes into our school is Maureen. She lives very close to the school. You can actually see her house there from some of the classrooms. She's now aged 11. She's in class 4. This is her when she joined us. She joined a little bit late. Her parents were both working as hard as they could, and they thought that they could find enough money to get her into school. Nursery school starts at 3. Unfortunately, they couldn't raise the money to go to another local nursery school. Her mum washes laundry for people that are out working all day, and her dad goes around trying to find things to repair. But so both parents were struggling, so she came in a year late to our school. We took her in when we saw her problem. This is Maureen's house. She lives with both of her parents. She has 2 bedrooms, and this is the one room that they live in. There's actually a curtain that you can't see on the left-hand side, just behind that blue seat. And what usually happens is the parents' bedroom is behind the curtain. So there'll be a big bed in there where the parents sleep, and the children all sleep on this side. Most of what they do, they try to do outside because of the size of the house. So cooking, washing up, a lot of times washing themselves is all done outside. If the weather's very bad, they can go inside. They don't have electricity. They have a kerosene lamp to help them with lighting there. She's actually doing really, really well at school. She's one of our top students in that class. We were worried that because she started a year late, that would affect her progress, but she's caught up really, really well. That's Maureen in the middle there. You can see she's a little bit bigger than some of the others. And one of the things she likes most about the school is actually the food. And Maureen just wanted to send a quick message, so I'm hoping that this short video is going to work.
My name is Maureen Amondi. I am in class 4. I learn in Simon Newman. I sponsored at home. I wash clothes. I wash utensils and sweep the house, and then I go to play outside.
Okay, so That's what we're doing over in Kisumu, and I just want to thank you for the support that you're giving, giving a chance to these children to change their lives and the lives of their families. So thank you very much for your help. Bless you.
Thank you, Chris. Just want to stay here a minute because we'll pray for you in a second. But to recap, so this is To Kenya With Love, and it's one of our chosen charities for the foreseeable future. And as you can see, it's a small charity, but it's well established and it's doing some wonderful, wonderful work. And so we're committed as a church to give away 10% of our income. So the giving that we receive and the fees and so on that we receive, we give away 10%. So we tithe in the same way as we understand that we're called to do as individuals as well. And our chosen charities, including To Kenya With Love, will receive from that. And so we also top that up with events that we hold during the year, and you will have seen some of those last year, and there's some to come this year as well. Although this morning's about raising awareness rather than actually asking for money from anybody, if as a result of what you've heard you would like to give, there are two opportunities. One is there are some white envelopes, which are our mission envelopes, which are on the door if you just tap me on the shoulder afterwards. And if you just wanted to use those, that enables us to make sure they're gift aided and so on. If you can just write To Kenya With Love or TKWL on the envelope, then we'll know exactly what it's for, which will be great. There is also the opportunity, if you talk to Sally afterwards, if you wanted to sponsor one of the children, you'd be very welcome to do that as well, and that's another opportunity. But as I said, this morning is mainly about raising awareness, because we've just started this journey with To Kenya With Love, and we look forward to that journey growing and our relationship growing and the support that we're able to offer growing as well. So let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank you very much for this wonderful project. We thank you for the vision that there was behind it, for the education and the opportunities for these children. Lord, we can't imagine what it is to live in a neighborhood like that. And we thank you, Father, that To Kenya With Love is offering hope and opportunity to those children. And we pray for Chris and the whole team out in Kenya that you will inspire them and encourage them. We pray for the funding, that there would be sufficient funding for To Kenya With Love to thrive as a school. And we pray for our relationship going forward. We pray that you'd help us to learn, to educate ourselves and to benefit in that way. And we pray that in return, we would offer something of the abundance that we have here to put our weight behind To Kenya With Love. So fill us all with your spirit, Father, particularly Chris as he continues his time here and prepares to go back to Kenya. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks very much.